Well, we'd like to bless all of you mothers this morning. Happy Mother's Day. Unfortunately, Mother's Day is not always an easy day for everyone, because sometimes hopes and dreams and families haven't turned out the way we would like them to be. Sometimes Mother's Day brings us pain and sadness. But nevertheless, we are thankful for God's gift of grace given to us in the gift of mothers who care, mothers who love, mothers who've invested their lives, children from multiple generations. Mother's Day for me is always a milestone in my life because I can remember it was Mother's Day 1977, 49 years ago, that I was here in the DAP area with a tour team from after my first year of Bible school. And we were ministering up at the church there. And I remember it was Mother's Day specifically because of a funny incident that happened with trying to make a phone call home to wish a mother happy Mother's Day. And it happened now, it so happens it was Callista's aunt and uncle that was part of the team I was with. And I still think about that 49 years ago. You know, we never know how God directs our lives. We never know the kind of relationships and connections that we make, that years later we look back and we say, that was all in God's hand. That was all in God's leading. On Mother's Day, I want to encourage each one of you ladies here, whether you have children of your own or not, I want to encourage you that you can make and are making a significant input in the lives of people. Even this morning as we dismissed for Sunday school, so many of our teachers are ladies, mothers, grandmothers, who are still investing in the lives of children. And I want to thank each one of you for the positive influence you have made in the lives of people and are continuing to make. If you take your Bibles, we want to look for just a few moments here at one of the brief references to the influence of a mother and a grandmother. And for that, I want you to turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. As you're turning there, I'm going to read a brief passage here from the gospel or from the book of Acts that introduces us to this relationship that is referred to in 2 Timothy. So, Father God, as we now open your word, and Lord, look at these importance of godly people, godly mothers, godly influence, we invite you, Lord God, to speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, have an attitude of thankfulness and appreciation, but also, Lord, prayerfulness for, Lord God, the ongoing relationships and influence that you give us with our children, grandchildren, and with many, Lord God, that we encounter and support. So as you've turned to 2 Timothy, I read here from Acts chapter 16. It says, this is referring to the Apostle Paul and the team he was traveling with. It says, and he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. We're introduced to this young man, and all that we're given is a little bit of the understanding of his upbringing. He had a mother who believed, and his father was a Greek, which we are assuming in the way that Paul wrote this, that his father may not have been a believer. But his mother, a Jewish woman seeking after God, was a believer in the Lord Jesus. And as a result, was raising their son in the truths of the Lord, which then become evident in the aspects of Timothy's life. So now I'm going to turn to 2 Timothy. At the end of Paul's life, after having been a missionary, an apostle, preaching and teaching the gospel, discipling many, he discipled Timothy, and at the end of his life now, he is giving reference to this in this letter. So I'm going to pick it up in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. I'm sure you find it interesting, as I do, to watch family traits be passed down from generation to generation. As I've said here in the past, my son, who is soon going to be 41, they live in Norway, but if you could shave the beard off him, you'd see a very similar man to me. We're the same height, the same weight, same long skinny arms and legs. But it goes deeper than that. For their daughter, their oldest daughter, her name is India, she's 7 years old. We receive many pictures from them in Norway, and we're thankful for that, because that's really bad, and some occasional phone calls is about all the only communication we have with them on a regular basis. But we received a picture a few weeks back from our daughter India, and both Gail and I were shocked when we looked at it. Absolutely shocked, because it immediately reminded us of an old, ancient photograph of my grandmother, my mother's mother, which would have been taken in Germany sometime around the beginning of the 19th century. And we looked at the picture of our granddaughter and my grandmother, and it was like, they looked exactly the same. 5 generations later. How can that be? How can that be that genetics can follow and trace so closely like that, that after 5 generations? But you know, it's more than just how we look. I believe that by the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, God passes on from one generation to the next the influence of God's Spirit and God's ways and God's work in our lives. And moms and dads, mothers here, especially on this day, I want to encourage you and thank you that as you endeavor to raise your children in the knowledge of God and the truth of God, that that spiritual seed of God's grace and mercy will be passed on to your children, to your sons and to your daughters and to your grandchildren. What a joy it is for those of you grandparents here today to see grandchildren growing in the Lord and following Him. It's a wonderful privilege as we've invested our lives in so many. So I want to look at just a few aspects here of what I see in the life of Timothy that were evidence of him living out the genuine faith of his mother and his grandmother. And it's basically, Timothy was a young man who quickly began to follow. He followed Paul from Acts chapter 16 on and was quickly immersed in the challenges of life and ministry. Genuine faith was put to the test soon in Timothy's life. And what he'd learned from his mother and his grandmother was put to the test. Just a real quick overview. We find we met Timothy here in Acts chapter 16. And as Paul is on his missionary journey, and when he met them in Derbe and Lystra, and then there in Lystra, they went on down to Philippi. And when they were in Philippi, we know the story that Paul was preaching in Philippi, and the people in the community got upset at the power of the gospel, and they arrested Paul and Silas, and both of these men were beaten and put in jail. And the story then of them singing and worshiping God in the prison cell at midnight is one that we have looked at in recent days here. But to think, Timothy was traveling with them. He had just joined them. And all of a sudden, he's thrown into this highly emotional, traumatic, frightening experience. But Timothy must have remained faithful to the Lord in the midst of that testing, because he went on to continue to serve and to work with the Apostle Paul. And so I want to look at just a few of those scriptures further. So if you turn, that's Acts chapter 16. If we go to Acts chapter 18, Acts chapter 18 and verse 5. Paul had come to Corinth ahead of the rest of his team and was there preaching the gospel. And it says in verse 5, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. I see a couple of things in this young man, Timothy, that Paul, even though he was influencing and discipling him and teaching him, he already was leaving him with tasks and assignments along with the Silas in Macedonia as Paul went on to head ahead. Paul was trusting Timothy already. Then furthermore, when Silas and Timothy arrived, it seemed that Silas and Timothy's presence and encouragement to Paul was helping Paul as he was compelled by the Spirit to give even clearer testimony to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Together as a team, their influence, their courage, the clarity of their preaching was leaving a strong impact in Corinth. Then go to Acts chapter 19, another incident here. Acts chapter 19. And verse 22. I'll pick it up at verse 21. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he went into sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a time. So there we see another evidence of Timothy being sent now with another believer on to minister and to preach the gospel in these areas here in Macedonia. Then going on, if you go to Acts chapter 20, verse 4, as these ministry trips continuing to go on here, it says, verse 4, and Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. Yeah, I did pretty good on those names. But we see here that Timothy is now joining with a greater team. Timothy is a man who is able to work in team with these leaders and ministers of the gospel. Paul gives Timothy a great accommodation at the end of the book of Romans as he's writing to the Christians in Rome, and in Acts chapter 16 and verse 21. Acts 16, 21. Paul, in concluding his letter to the Romans, says, Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater and so on. He includes Timothy and thanks God as he's writing this letter to the Romans and identifying this young man, Timothy, as his faithful servant. We know that he sent Timothy to various cities to continue to disciple the believers. And history tells us that Paul eventually sent Timothy to pastor the church in Ephesus. Now, this is not in our scriptures here, but we've got historical records of it, that Timothy was pastoring Ephesus, which was the largest Christian church in all of Asia. And they estimate that there could have been up to 5,000 members in that church. Paul's work with Timothy, Paul's trust in Timothy, Paul's understanding of Timothy created such a teamwork and such an important opportunity for the gospel to touch people's lives. I want to turn you to turn to one last passage, Philippians chapter 2, in which Paul gives affirmation of Timothy's character. Philippians 2, verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me." So I just bring out just a few of those points and those references in Scripture that Paul's trust in Timothy, Paul's confidence in Timothy's character, leadership, and faith was seen over and over again. But going back to 2 Timothy, as Paul is writing this letter at the end of his life, affirming Timothy, affirming his mother and his grandmother in their genuine faith, he then encourages Timothy to continue on to be faithful to the Lord. Now here's where I want to conclude with this thought. Go to chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, which is the chapter that talks about knowing that perilous days are ahead. Paul then, in this chapter, begins to give reference to some of the challenges that Timothy was going to face, and I believe that we face ourselves these days. First, it says, "In the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." Wow. Such a challenging list of human actions and attitudes that were going to be so destructive. However, down to verse 10. "But Timothy, you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Iconium," or Antioch, "at Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy, in spite of how challenging the days will get, Paul says, "I want you to continue in the Holy Scriptures that you have learned from childhood." And so my encouragement to you this morning on Mother's Day is, whether you have young children, or whether your children are growing, maybe you don't have the same level of influence you had in their lives as previously, but I want to encourage you to continue to speak, to read, and to pray the blessings of God's Word into the lives of your children. I want you to be faithful to be able to open the Word of God in your home, perhaps even as you're traveling. Practice pouring God's Word into the lives of your children, because it will bear fruit. But then, as Paul said to Timothy, "And remember from whom you have learned them," the Word of God followed by your character, your nature, your godliness, your patience, your perseverance, actually authenticates the truth of God's Word that you are teaching your children and your grandchildren. Moms, you may feel like you have failed, like you have struggled, like you have not always been a good example, but even in that, as you are honest, as you are real about your struggles, and keep turning to the Lord and asking Him for strength, you will be a godly influence in the lives of your children. So I want to just think about just a few of the aspects. How can we pass on genuine faith like Lois and Eunice did to Timothy. Here's a few thoughts. We pass on genuine faith when we keep Christ as the head of our home. We pass on genuine faith when we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. We pass on genuine faith when we personally have trusted Christ as our Savior, and we give testimony to that, that it's only through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us that we are forgiven and accepted. But we live in that acceptance. We share that with our family, the hope of life in Christ. I believe we pass on genuine faith when we realize that we trust the Lord for every situation and every need in life. We're taught in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. When you go to the grocery store, you realize we got to start trusting God more and more, even at the cost of food, don't we? Lord, give us what we need every day. When you demonstrate that and live that, that confidence in your testimony and in your prayers, that you are thanking the Lord and trusting Him, you pass on that genuine faith to your children. I believe that we pass on genuine faith to our children and our grandchildren when we maintain an attitude of worship and thankfulness. Every time you say out loud, I thank God for this. I thank God for peace. I thank God for this food. I thank God for giving me family. Every time it comes out of your lips, you know what your children are hearing? Mommy and Daddy, trust the Lord. Mommy and Daddy know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. We express that unto the Lord. When our hearts are filled with worship and joy, I believe we pass on our genuine faith when prayer is our first reflex in challenging situations. When we are quick to say, oh, let's pray about this. We need help. Whether it's a challenge at home, a challenge at work, a challenge, you know, in every situation, that we, our first response is, oh, let's stop, let's ask the Lord for wisdom and direction. I believe that we pass on genuine faith when we live a life of complete trust in the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. When we say, Lord, you be my peace, you be my hope, you be my encouragement, you be my life. Every time we live this reality of our faith, of our confidence in the Lord's faithfulness, we pass on these seeds of genuine faith. I believe we're also heading into a time in the history of our world when our faith is going to be tested. And in the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Peter, Peter is writing and he talks about the fact that we have a living hope, an incorruptible inheritance, we're kept by the power of God, and we greatly rejoice in God's gift for us. Verse 6, he says, in this you greatly rejoice, chapter 1, verse 6, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our faith in the Lord Jesus, though tested by fire, will honor the Lord and will give our children reason to put their own faith in the Lord. So mums, don't give up. Grandmas, don't give up. And even those of you who don't have children yet, perhaps you wish you've had children and it hasn't happened yet, please don't give up. God will bless you even as you are willing to serve and even teach others and be a godly influence to them. Perhaps you're not married yet. You're waiting what God's supply is there. But even in that, while you wait, Let your life be a light and an encouragement to people all around you. I know it's not easy. I know it's challenging. Last night we had our graduation banquet here. Three young people graduating from high school. Sometimes, Mom and Dad, you might feel like, finished with this one. Guess what? You're never finished. You're never finished. Though they may move on from our home, we still have influence and responsibility to pray for our children, our grandchildren around us. So I want to pray a blessing on you, and then we are going to watch a beautiful video, a beautiful poem, expressing thankfulness to each one of you women who have given your life, are using your life as an opportunity to bless people. So let's pray together. Father God, we've looked at some scripture passages here of the life of Timothy. That, Lord God, as Paul gives testimony, his life was rooted and grounded in scripture and in genuine faith as taught by his mother and his grandmother. Now, Father God, here, Lord, as we are assembled on this Mother's Day, we are thankful for each and every one of the women in this place. Not just sitting here in this room, but those who are teaching Sunday school upstairs with our many beautiful children. Lord, thank you for the influence and the giftings you've given to each woman here. Thank you for the positive things that, Lord, mothers and women have taught to their children and to other children. Thank you, Father God, especially for the influence and the gift of genuine faith that is being passed on. Now, Lord, with that, we pray your blessing on our children and our grandchildren. Lord God, even on our adult sons and daughters, that God, you will watch over each one, and may their hearts be drawn closer to you to walk with you. So, Father, on this Mother's Day, we thank you for our mothers. Lord, I thank you for my mom. Lord, what a godly influence she has been in my life and still is. Father, we just thank you and we give you praise for every good and perfect gift. Now, Lord, encourage each mother here. Encourage them, Lord God, in the day-to-day weariness sometimes of mothering a young family, busy homes. Lord, encourage the mothers here with fresh sense of thankfulness. Lord, a growing understanding of faith and trusting you in these days that we're in now, of Lord proving you faithful in every circumstance. Thank you, Lord, for your grace to us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to watch this video, and as you leave this morning after our final song, there's a gift for each one of you ladies here. You notice that beautiful